Welcome to See Here Love. I'm your host, Melinda, and we are so glad you've joined us again today as we talk all about peace. I'm also excited that we have a special guest in the studio, Tryphena Paramala Gagnon, with us today. He'll be sharing her story about how God is teaching her and her husband how to pursue peace in the midst of chaotic circumstances by pursuing his presence at home and in their marriage and through her husband's burnout and during a failed church plant. Welcome, Tryphena, to the show. Well, we're glad that you're here to help us pursue peace. Perfect. So let's start off by hearing your story and how you got to that place of peace.
Cool, yeah. I'm so excited to be here. So I feel like my story is similar to so many people's stories. I had a dream and a vision for my life, and God had a totally different plan. If you had asked me a few years ago, I did not really want to be married, didn't really want kids, definitely didn't want to be in full-time ministry or associated with anyone in full-time ministry, and wanted to live in a condo downtown Toronto and be teaching. That was the plan. Fast forward 8 years, we got married at 21, we have two children, I married a pastor, wow. And we don't even live in Toronto and like never got the condo. But God's plans are so much better than mine, thankfully. But so we got married 8 years ago, and our journey was, well, life is hard, yeah. Marriage is hard, and I feel like in no way do I have a monopoly mm-hmm. on pain, but we've experienced different things in our life that have kind of led us to this point. So we got married, we're both exploring new careers, and there's nuances of that mm-hmm. and the difficulties of that. Soon into our marriage, my husband really hears from God that we're called to church plant. Took me a little longer to get on that bandwagon, but we really felt like we were called to step into that. Right after we said yes, things began to blow up, as things happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer and was experiencing palliative care in our home, and soon after passed away. Mm-hmm. My husband went through one surgery after another. We planted the church, finally, and week two, he goes through a traumatic back injury, and so he's now living on Percocets and can't dress himself.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like throw into that, like just life and family and relationships, and both of our mental health is kind of quickly derailing. So in the mix, we have children, so my body does not do pregnancy amazingly. So one difficult pregnancy, and it was pregnancy number two that really began to change our life. So I'm essentially living in a dark room. My senses are kind of all shut down. I'm on an IV, and there's nurses coming in and out. And I'm like, God, where are you in this? But it was beautiful that as my senses were kind of all stripped away, the Holy Spirit began to speak. And it wasn't that he hadn't been speaking before, but we had been so busy and so inundated with the storms in our life that we hadn't been able to slow down and really hear him and hear what he was saying. And so now we're on this new growing edge. Okay, what does it look like to hear the voice of God and pursue that? And if the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, then what you're speaking into, there should be peace about. And so we're like, all right, Jesus, like you're moving, this is exciting. But it doesn't mean that the storm stopped. So now I'm 7.5 months pregnant. We have a 2-year-old, and Mark's mental health has taken quite a hit from what's happened over the years. And he burns out. So he is lying in the fetal position, shaking in a couch, and cannot function. And I'm like, Jesus. And 3 months later, we get a phone call. So now he's off work, and we get a phone call that the church we planted and invested 5 years of our life in is now closed.
Oh.
And we now have a newborn. And we're sitting there, and God, we're like, God, where is your peace in this? And it was then that God really began to take us on a journey of what does it look like to pursue peace? Because in the world, peace is the absence of chaos and war. Mm-hmm. But he really began to teach us that in the kingdom, peace is like peace can still have chaos and war, but it's the presence of a person. And that was the big shift that began in our life.
Yeah. You know, that's so great, because when I'm listening to you, it's like hit after hit, and most people would be out. Mm-hmm. They would be like, we're not, peace is the furthest thing from my mind. It's actually survival,
yeah.
It's fetal position, mm-hmm. it's escaping, it wouldn't be peace. Mm-hmm. Or I'd be just angry at God for all the bad things that have happened to me. Right? I mean, would you guys say the same thing? I mean, that would be our initial reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we throw our hands up, we get overwhelmed, we get anxious, the storm knocks us over, and we can't seem to find God in the midst mm-hmm. of it. And as you were speaking, it just hit me so hard that the last thing you said, peace is a person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that person not only speaks peace to the storm, but what you found out is that he speaks peace in the storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's so interesting for us to realize that, okay, in the midst of the storm, yes, God, speak peace, but what are you saying? Mm-hmm. What is he speaking and ministering in the midst of the storm?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Lisa, what are your thoughts?
There's a quotation. I think it's by Corrie ten Boom. You're going to have to fact check me on that. But basically the quotation says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And when we're knocked down flat, when you're in the room and everything's dark, your senses are just shutting down, it's just an IV, maybe he needed us there because we were so busy. And now he's dismantled our life so he can be like, let's actually get to work.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that's good.
That's really powerful. So, yeah, that's really good. Because I think, like, it's so easy to stay busy and to do things and try to find the peace, but you're not allowing yourself to be still enough to feel it or hear from God. And so in your situation, like, God just stripped everything away and then spoke right to your heart. And that's really powerful.
Tryphena, you say that in the world, pursuing peace in a way is done by three ways, right?
Yes.
You numb, you numb yourself, you numb your circumstance, you escape your circumstance, or you change your circumstance. Yes. I think those are really powerful things to discuss.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
So I feel like those 5 years of church planting, or even just our marriage, we were professionals at trying to find peace, just and not achieving it. And so we were really good at, we were numbing our circumstances. So we would come home and we'd just be binging on Netflix or like good food or whatever it is. And that on its own is inherently not wrong. Or escaping. We were at an all-inclusive, which is great, but we were there because we were crashing and we had no capacity to do anything. Or we were trying to change our circumstance. So we're constantly trying to fix the church or fix the situation or move away from relationships that were difficult because we just couldn't handle it and none of it was to any avail.
Yeah. Okay, so, but that's, okay, pause, because I'm checking off, yep, I've done that. Check, I've done that. Shoot, I've done that. So you're saying that our initial response is to numb, escape, or change your circumstance versus pursuing the person of peace. Mm. So talk to us about that, because that, I would say most people are like, yeah, we do that. So how do you actually choose to pursue peace in that way?
Well, I think scripture is so beautiful that it gives us such a tangible like on-ramp for that. Like Jesus says, like, draw me near to me and I will draw near to you. And I think there's something so beautiful because in his presence is where we find peace. And so for me, peace has come from pursuing who Jesus is, like in experiencing the Holy Spirit. I find for me, my mind is not the mind of Christ, but I know the Holy Spirit lives in me and I want his thoughts to be my thoughts, because a lot of the time I'm inundated with the lies that I believe or my worries and my anxieties. And so I've had to learn to, how do I change my thoughts to align them with Christ? So one thing is I have like daily affirmations or declarations that I'm going through in the morning of who God is, that he's good, that he's faithful, that he has a plan for my life and that, you know, there's a purpose on it and who I am because of that. So I'm loved, I'm set apart. And constantly reminding myself of who he is and what that looks like. Another thing that I feel like God is really teaching me is, well, I can't remember the verse, but enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, right? So there is no temple, there's no tabernacle anymore. He lives inside of us. But I want to encounter his presence on a regular basis. And he gives us that on-ramp of, well, like through praise and through worship and thanksgiving. Yeah. And so I've been challenged to be somebody who, so in the moment when I'm feeling stressed or I'm feeling the storms around me, like what can I choose to be thankful for? Or how can I put aside my to-do list and my plans to clean the house or whatever, like I'm trying to do. And I'm just gonna sit and worship.
It's good. So what's resonating with you guys as she's talking? Because I can see these like,
I love that, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I think that, you know, as we pursue peace and we pursue all the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit, those will be found in the presence of God. And I just, that verse is so, to me, it's just such a powerful verse.
This is what came to me. You know, you talked about numbing down, and that I call it like zombie syndrome, being on autopilot. And so we, you know, the response is not to turn down the volume, follow me, on the noise of our lives. Like, we, you know, green tea and Zen and vacations, and we're trying to mute that sound. It's actually turning the volume up on God's word. Have him speak louder into your situation. What are you saying? Seeking his voice over the let his voice sort of calm the quiet and speak over the busyness rather than all the other things we do.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
It's interesting because when we talk about those circumstances in which we want to numb or avoid or escape, I think when we're actually a person with that presence of peace in the presence of God and it's internal, you know the difference between numbing yourself and then growing a thick skin because the world is what it is. Yeah. You know the difference between avoiding because you don't want to deal with it and then avoiding a toxic situation because you actually shouldn't be there. And then you know the difference between changing a circumstance because, oh, I can't stand this, and then transforming it because you're empowered to do so. And that's, I think, that's why God wants us to talk to us first, so those things we can deal with in the proper way and not a negative, worldly, secular way.
That's good, Lisa.
Got a
that's really
what
good.
What she just said.
Yeah.
Busyness is not a Band-Aid.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Good. You know, I love this because it's just as a reminder, even for me, that rather than go to the things that we feel that we can control and then make us feel good for a moment, it's actually pursuing Jesus, the person of peace, that's going to actually long-term, deeply, you know, redemptively, who restores us, is the person we need to pursue. I love that. I had never heard that before, Tryphena, about this idea of when we talk about peace within the fruit of the Spirit, that it's actually pursuing the person of peace. Just like it would be pursuing the person of love.
So
joy, right? Yeah. That's incredible. I love
and
that
I think,
thought.
Too, as a reminder, like, we have access to God all of the time. All of the time. His peace is actually always with us. He is present, it is present, and we just have to be, sometimes it's just a heart shift to be reminded, oh yeah, I do have the peace of God with me right now, and just to lean into that, you know?
So Tryphena, what happened? So when you decided, okay, I'm going to pursue peace, what happened to your life and with your husband and kids?
It's not like things automatically got better at all. If anything, I think, I look at my life now and I'm like, there's still storms raging around our life, right? But there's a different foundation and there's a different perspective. I think we have a God who literally slept in the middle of a storm, right? Because he knew it wasn't his time to die. He was not going to die. He like Jesus only did what he saw the Father do, and he knew that was not what the Father was doing in his life. And so it's changed our focus of asking God, like, Holy Spirit, where are you in this moment? Like, what are we called to partner with? We had spent so much of our life, not that we were not doing things for God and not loving God, but some of it became out of our own strength. And it moved to a place we were like, Holy Spirit, what are you doing and how can we partner with that versus how can we just ask you to bless what we're already doing?
Well, let's talk about the verse in John 14:27. Lisa, you want to read it? And then I'd love to hear your thoughts about the verse.
Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid.
Oh, that actually gives me physical peace. When I hear that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts when you hear this verse and this promise from God for our lives? Tryphena, why don't we start with you?
I love this verse because I love that Jesus says, like, do not let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid. He's insinuating that there's going to be times when you are going to be troubled and you are going to be afraid, but he doesn't give as the world gives. You're not striving for peace like the world strives. Verse 26, the verse right before it, he's talking about sending the Holy Spirit and sending that teacher and reminder for us. And to me, it just correlates the two, that walking in step with the Spirit is what is giving us peace. And I just love that. It's such a good reminder for me.
Good.
You know, being a fatherless child, I always draw to the heart of the father and the actions of a father. And I think a good parent, now that I am a parent, a good parent will do everything in their power to ensure the success of their child. And so when I hear Jesus saying, I'm leaving, but I want to ensure that you live abundantly. I want to ensure that you live well. So I am sending the Holy Spirit. And I'm giving you peace so that the world won't, like, I'm giving you the tools. And it just reminds me that God cares and that he wants us to live in this peaceful life. And he's done that by leaving us the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing.
That's so encouraging. And for all those people that have felt abandoned, that he actually, I love that, ensures that you are equipped and with his Spirit. Wow, that's good. It's really good.
I think this verse speaks to me actually very personally in this specific season in my life. I feel a little bit like my mind is going in every direction right now. And this, just even you reading it, I was reminded, like, oh yeah, God has given me a gift right now, and it's His peace, and it's with me right now, and it's calming my mind, and it's calming my heart. And yeah, I just am reminded that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of, I don't need to be afraid because Christ is with me. Like it goes back to, He goes before you. Yeah. And I'm encouraged by that.
It's good.
He leaves with us His peace of mind and heart. And the troubles, when you're anxious, it's all that goes on in your mind. It's trouble you're thinking about, and the heart is fearful. Yeah. And it's what I love about this is that it's worded in a very passive way. It's a gift that you receive, and yet you worded it as pursuing a person, pursuing peace, because it's not just, let's just sit here and just not do anything, because your mind could be troubled and your heart could be afraid. But it's this soul exercise of active spiritual discipline of pursuing, getting rid of what clutters, but then making space. I mean, when you clean your house, it's an active thing, but you're making space for something else. Yeah. You're making space for the presence of Christ, which brings that to you. And then it's like, I got this. Yeah. God has got this, and so I can do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I like this version, how it calls it a gift. I'm giving you a gift. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just that, again, it's that action of like, I'm going to receive this
gift. It's an action of receiving.
Like, and it's that father heart. Mm-hmm. Like, I love you.
Here's a gift.
When we hear the word peace, and we are talking about peace, and it sounds great. We're all like, yes, yes, we are going to be all about peace forever and ever. Yeah. But in reality, after the show, we're going to go home. And when the rubber hits the road, and we're on the highway, and we're driving, and things are blowing up and chaotic, what are we going to do? And so I think, you know, sort of this accountability with our viewers and listeners and ourselves, what would you say would be the thing that you are going to choose to do in pursuing peace and receiving the gift of peace tomorrow? And Tryphena, I'm putting you right on the spot because you're a special guest, and that's what we do here.
Because I struggle with this in my day-to-day. I have like two little kids, and I'm like, this is not a peaceful circumstance. I think it's 1 Thessalonians talks about, like, I rejoice always, I pray without ceasing, and I give thanks to the Father. And I'm like, that's what I'm learning to do. I'm like, okay, God, one, where are you in this moment? But two, how am I going to still choose to be thankful and receive this gift of peace that you've given me? Because there are so many amazing things that you're doing in my life. So just because there is poop on the floor here, it doesn't mean that this is my entire perspective, this is my entire life.
So what are you going to do? So you
So what am I going to do?
You take a moment?
I take a moment. Okay. I take a moment. And then I start my day with that as well, where I need to journal it out.
Oh, so you journal. So you wake up in the morning.
Yes. I wake up in the morning because I find I need to get up before my kids. So I need to journal and just download my stuff to God and allow Him to speak back.
So journaling, that's a good way to do it. And if you can't do it in the morning, because I am not a morning person, you could do it at night, at lunch, whenever. And journaling just helps to process your thoughts and give perspective.
Helps me clear the deck, and it also allows me to slow down enough to hear God's voice.
Yeah, okay, good. So journaling and being intentional about that. Okay, Cheryl.
Girl.
But she's so
I am going to get realistic real quick.
Okay.
And I'm going to lose all of these false expectations with this. I'm going to understand today that by pursuing the person of peace, who is Jesus Christ, that it doesn't necessarily change my position.
That's right.
But it's going to change my posture.
Yeah. Amen.
And I needed that today because I seem to think, or have thought, been guilty, that suddenly inviting peace and inviting God will change what's physically going on. Not necessarily so.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we have to understand that the storm may continue for a bit longer, but my posture has changed in the midst of that storm. Changes everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so a change in posture. Circumstances may stay the same and for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the posture of
my heart and my mind.
Pursuing the person of peace. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Good.
Yeah, I love that actually. Same. Like in the storm, like not gonna make the storm go away necessarily, but knowing that there's peace in the storm is I don't know, it's just you can walk through the storm in a different way, even though it's still really hard and messy and rocky, but just knowing that you have peace in it. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like I obviously, as a worship leader, like I love music and I love to sing. For me, something happens to me when I just throw in a song and I just can like not sing, actually just like be quiet while the song sings over me and just be like, God, like I know that you are speaking to me. And that's, I don't know, that's how God speaks to me. It's when I just throw on music and like let it sink deep.
That's good.
It's
so
like
music.
It is well with my soul.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay, so we've got journaling, posture, music. Lisa?
For me, it's Bible reading. And it's not, okay, I'm having a stressful time, I need to find a Bible verse. No, it's everything in your daily life.
Yeah.
Because when you understand how God, it's like biblical literacy of God's heart and how he's moving in history, in the chaotic times of the people that are mm-hmm. here. And then it draws me back to my favorite Bible verse, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Yeah. Just on its own, it's a great, you know, thing to stick on a cup or something. Yeah. But when you understand the scope of the Bible, it's yeah. like he's actually got all this in control. Who yeah. do you think you are?
Yeah.
How dare you feel so troubled and afraid when this is who God is? And it kind of puts you in your place for me.
Yeah. And it's actually like, it's like, oh God, we don't trust you or really yeah. believe yeah. who you say you are yeah. or what you'll do.
So yeah. biblical for me, it's Bible
Ooh,
reading.
Bible.
But consistently, so when you get to the point where your peace is challenged, yeah. you know that it shouldn't be.
So my challenge, so these are all good. So I've been challenged, journaling, change of posture, music, and Bible reading. I would say, that in my day that I don't clutter my mind with the busyness and the sounds constantly. So I'm the type of person who, when there is a moment of silence or I have a break, it's filled with something. I'm on the phone, I'm doing something else, I'm filling it, like I'm constantly filling my life with noise and busyness where there is no allowance for peace or the pursuit of peace. Mm-hmm. And that has been something that I've struggled with all my life. Whether it's an extrovert or just the way that I'm wired, or maybe it's just me escaping and trying to numb because I don't have peace in my life. And that's a very honest, you know, honest reflection and of me. But I think that it's just going to be, you know what, Mel? You don't need to fill to turn on the TV or to do this. There are times where you can just be still. And it's okay. And maybe that's it. Maybe I feel guilty when I'm not doing. And maybe I need to get rid of that, I mean, a posture of it's me and God here. And things could be happening, but I need to be at peace and to be quiet and still. So yeah. I think that's good. And now that we've all said it, there might be some accountability for all of us. And so I think that's good to journal, which really is to be intentional and take some time to reflect.
Totally.
We don't do that a lot, do we?
No.
We don't sit and go, how is my day? How am I doing?
Yeah.
God, what are you saying? Because we're so busy, we just keep rolling and going.
The one thing I was going to say with the journaling, I've noticed that like when I do write out things like, God, I'm asking you to fill me with peace in this season, when I write it out, I love that I can go back and see, oh my goodness, like he was there. He did fill me with peace. And then it becomes like a praise report in my own life. Yes. And so I love that. Journaling is really, really important.
Yeah.
Also, writing it out automatically slows you down. It is just takes longer than typing. And it forces you to think and slows you down.
It does. Good. Even though my writing may be a little messy, I can't read as fast as what I wrote. We're good. Well, Trifina, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story so courageously and honestly. We really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and sort of reimagining and changing the way that it's pursuing the person of peace, knowing Jesus and who he is, right? The one who says, be still and know I am God, I've got you. It's great, great thoughts. And thank you, Cheryl, Brooke, and Lisa for your thoughts. Amazing, like always. And again, I will be coming to you to say, how's that going? Using the Bible reading, the posture. So thank you again.
Thank you for listening to See Hear Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See Hear Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.